How you feel?
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MB Pro call. Today is Thursday, April 27th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to MotorVitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by going to MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. Love having you on live, though. I saw a couple people try to log on last week. They missed the message that we were taking a week off for WQA. And so sorry about that, but glad to have you back here today in this week. I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with?
Kelly?
Yes, Jen?
I want to officially introduce, I hope he's on here, John, JP. He is our newest, what we call MB Pro, Motor Vitality Pro, which is a sales professional that we hire for one of our clients, and he's working with McGowan Water in Mankato, Minnesota. And so welcome. We've spent 4 days together, and he keeps coming back, so that's a bonus. but he's doing great. You know, we're learning a lot, and, you know, we have those. Somebody asked me earlier, you know, just before the call, do you like those aha moments? And I'm seeing those aha moments where it's just like, aha, that's what it is. And,
yeah,
you know, things are starting to click, and I love it. Absolutely love it. So,
yeah.
John, are you on? I know he said he was going to jump on and mute himself, but I'm not sure if he's on. Okay. But anyways, welcome.
Yeah, welcome, John, definitely. Anybody else? You know, it was a pretty cool session. I had to make a very difficult decision of, you know, between going to the WQA boot camp and sitting through the PFAS symposium, which I chose the PFAS just because it's so relevant to what we're doing. And I know, Jen, you sat through boot camp. Any big thing that jumped out at you from WQA boot camp when you were there? Anything that's worth sharing or really profound there?
Oh gosh, you're putting me on the spot. You're asking me to remember something from 2 weeks ago, or maybe it was only a week ago. Boot camp. It was really cool. We talked about. We talked about marketing, and then we also talked about, you know, finances and stuff like that, and then we broke off into groups. I apologize, Kelly, if you have, I don't remember anything that jumped out at me. Michelle might. Michelle was there. Put her on the spot.
Yeah. Anybody else go to boot camp? It's a real ringing endorsement for WQA and boot camp. Those things that really stay with you.
Sorry about that. Let me also add that, I think it was one of the best boot camps we had.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'll jump
so
in
much
quickly.
Information. Yeah.
I'll jump in quickly. So, they talked about how to figure out finances. So, but more specifically, what you're making off of different jobs. So, how you can figure out what it's costing you to have a tech out in the field to sell a job, to install a job, to get the real number of what your expenses are. So that was pretty helpful. And it went very, you know, much more in depth than I can explain it. And then also different ways of marketing and getting your business name out there and what you do. So I think actually both of them were really interesting and helpful for boot camp.
Yeah. And hi, Elaine. Good.
Hi. I went to boot camp, and I thought the best part of it was the people that I met that I didn't know and sharing, like, best practices, because you're not competitors, you're all colleagues. So I like that part.
Kim Redden also, she stood up and talked about ethics. And I thought she did a really good job at explaining, you know, ethics and how it's so important in our, in what we do. I thought that one was really good. You know, and there were a couple of different, what I like is when they do the panels and people ask questions. I know Mike McGowan and a couple others got up on stage and talked about finances and not only the finances, but probably the best practices of running your company. So that one was really good also. I think he made a comment at one point that they said that he wasn't allowed, he should redo the ethics again, but.
certain things he wasn't, yeah.
But anyways, no, it was good. Like I said, I think it was one of the best ones that boot camps that we've had so far. I'm just drawing a blank on, you know, I have to go back and look at my notes.
Well, it was really cool going to the PFAS symposium too. That was really interesting. I learned a lot of stuff about upcoming treatment methods, you know, kind of, you know, because this is a huge deal. If you're in this industry and you have not heard about PFAS or understand the impact that PFAS is having as an emerging contaminant, then I definitely encourage you to catch up, read up on it. Learn about it as much as you can, because I just saw an article that came through. I posted on our social media that now they're saying that PFAS has a lot to contribute to the obesity problem that we have in the country. You know, that it's because it inhibits metabolism. So it's just, and it's pretty much everywhere. I mean, everybody we're exposed to this stuff everywhere. It's pretty incredible. So, so I don't want to spend the entire call reviewing WQA. We've talked a lot about the benefits of going and the value of all of that. So I definitely encourage you to look into your, you know, we've got a lot of state and regional events coming up over the summer and through the fall. Find your local event, participate, go learn, just what you said, Elaine, you know, meeting people, talking to colleagues, people who share the same interests as you. And that's something, you know, if you're in sales or service on this call, that you can't go wrong. I mean, they're easier, they're closer to get to, you know, it doesn't take the expense and the time out of the, you know, out of the office as much to get to these things, and it's time well spent. So definitely I would encourage you're going. It was pretty cool. With that, I did want to, anybody else have anything go over today? So I did have a topic today that I wanted to kind of talk about, and this was stemming from a class we had. I was talking to a client of ours that was sending somebody to our training facility that has some experience installing, but not a ton. But also the biggest thing that because they do meticulous work, they do really good work, but the challenge that they were hoping to have them learn at our facility was to gain a little more confidence, you know, to feel a little more confident about what they were doing. So to be able to come in and tackle some things that they wouldn't normally do. And it got me thinking about all of us in general, about this, about what we do for a living. Those of us that are in sales, those of us in leadership positions, you know, installers, what we do is a little, I don't know, it's a little strange when you really think about it. I mean, from day to day, on a daily, you know, especially for those of us in service or install and or sales, you know, we walk up to the doors of total strangers, and those of us in sales especially, you know, within an hour or two, we're asking them for thousands of dollars, and we're asking them to trust us enough based on maybe a little bit of name recognition of our product, but a lot our personalities and the way we present ourselves, we're asking them to trust us enough to put their signature on financial documents or on a check, or to hand us over, you know, thousands of dollars in cash or whatever. I think that's kind of incredible. And I was just thinking it might be an interesting conversation to talk about, okay, what gives us the confidence to go in and do that, especially when we get started? I mean, you know, when you've been doing it a while, I guess you're kind of used to it or whatever, but I thought it might, I don't know exactly which direction the conversation would go, but, and I did have, I was doing a little research on it, on the topic, and a couple articles popped up. So if, you know, depending on where it goes, I'll refer back to a little bit of this article, but I thought I'd open it up for discussion I was wondering what you guys thought about the topic of confidence. Where does it come from? Why do we need it? What type of confidence do we need? What situations are you more confident in than others? And go.
Well, this is Eli.
Kelly. Go ahead.
I think that you have to know your product and you have to believe in it, because if you don't believe it's worth what you're selling for, then the customer's not going to believe it either. So knowing the value of what you provide and how you're helping people.
Yeah, you know, have you ever met somebody who's been doing this for a long time and they're so hungry for knowledge, they study? I know Jen and I both have run into people like this that just, they can't overcome that confidence factor. They just feel like they have to know everything and everything and everything. And so many times Jen and I have had the conversation, you've been here a week, you already know way more than what most of your customers know. But you're right. I think, you know, gaining the knowledge is good, but at some point, you've got to be able to get out there and do the work while you're still learning. I mean, I myself would never have run a sales call if I had waited until I learned everything, because I still learn stuff all the time. But knowing your product and feeling confident about your product is really key for sure. Definitely. Jen, you were going to say something? I think I heard Stacey pop in.
No, I'm going to 100% back up the whole knowledge thing. But there's like kind of two sides to what you had just said. Is I think that it's very important that you have the knowledge, and I think the knowledge builds your confidence. But at the same time, before you get out there, you have to have even the basic knowledge, you know, the testing the water, understanding what you're testing for, because there are so many companies that go out there and they train just to test the water, but they don't know what they're testing or why they're testing for it. They don't understand the terminology, I guess you could say. And you need to, on top of knowing it, you need to be able to explain it and educate the customer also. But, you know, the water testing and then the product knowledge, I think those are the two top. But then also knowledge of what's going on in the industry. Like you mentioned PFAS earlier. And if somebody mentions, you know, oh, what do you know about this PFAS stuff? And you say, oh, I have no idea. You know, I'm not sure. I haven't heard of it. You know, kind of like, you know, Flint, Michigan, when that came up. And that happened to me where we're at a home show. Yeah. And somebody made a comment about the tea. And they're like, oh, yeah, that looks like Flint water. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, had no idea it happened to both you and I, because we had been out of town and didn't see the news. But, you know, knowing what's going on, especially in your area, and being able to have conversation with your consumer is really important.
That was before Flint became about lead.
Yeah.
That was when they were still talking about Legionella. And then trihalomethanes. You know, a lot of people forget that the original problem in Flint, Michigan wasn't lead, it was Legionella. And then they superchlorinated, and then the big issue for a couple weeks was trihalomethanes, and then it became about lead. You know, it just kind of, but you're right, you got to stay up. Google alerts are huge. We haven't done a call on Google alerts in a long time, but if you don't know what Google alerts are, then Google alerts. sign up for them. It is one of the best ways to kind of look at those. You get alerts for on any topic that you want that show up in your email, and It's a good way to catch, you know, stay caught up on those topics or those stories that you might otherwise miss and that are relevant to the industry. So I agree. Knowledge is one thing. I think that's kind of interesting that you guys are focusing on, you know, everybody who's spoken about that has focusing on industry knowledge, you know, knowing about, knowing about, you know, about the products and services that we offer and carry. Are there any other types of confidence or any other thing that you need to have confidence in order to effectively, you know, present or go in, you know, to go into a home and talk to people?
We have to believe yourself. Go ahead.
Say that again.
I said you have to believe in yourself. You have to believe you're able now.
So let me, there are four different types of, based on some of the research that I was doing, it looks like, you know, psychologists and, I don't know, people way smarter than me probably, they separate confidence into four different types of confidence. You've got social confidence, you've got expert confidence in your expertise, which is what we've been talking about, physical confidence, and your confidence in your self-worth. Are really the four different types of confidence. And I thought this was kind of interesting. There were some nice little tips here. So kind of go over that and make it relevant to what we do here. But so social confidence is the ability to portray yourself as confident in social situations. This is typically done by empathizing with and understanding the mindset of the people around you. This can be through appearance, body language, and how you speak to people. Improving social confidence is easy as long as you consistently work at it. A couple tips for improving social confidence are dressing for success. We talked about that a little bit in the last, you know, couple calls. We talked about, you know, putting on a uniform, you know, and feeling professional. You know, so one of the first things people judge you on is how you're dressed. Dress how you like to portray yourself. The more put together you look, the more confident you're going to look and feel. Engage in conversation. People notice how much you talk to them. If you're constantly avoiding conversation, it can show a lack of confidence. If you engage in conversation with others, even if it's brief, it can up your confidence in the way you're viewed. Get rid of this is something that I have to watch a little bit on my own. Now I do it a little bit jokingly sometimes. But I know it kind of bugs people. You know, I often refer to myself, you know, as a fat and old guy, you know, I kind of joke about that a little bit, you know, so, but this says get rid of self-deprecating language. Many people, and I think this is referring to when you apologize for speaking or when, you know, so when you say things like, sorry for bothering you, or, you know, I apologize for bothering you, or sorry for interrupting, or not that good at this, but I'm going to try it anyway, you know. Instead, switch out self-deprecating phrases for more confident ones. So instead of sorry for bothering you, thank you for taking the time. Instead of I'm not that good at this, saying to the best of my knowledge. So changing the way, you know, making our statements instead of being self-deprecating or putting ourselves down, changing them slightly to where they, you know, they do speak to your ability to do that kind of thing. Confidence in your expertise, we already talked a little bit about. That's being confident in your expertise is trusting in your skills or abilities. This can mean your ability to complete a difficult task or having knowledge of what you're doing. That's what we've been kind of talking about here. The best way to work on your confidence and your expertise is to keep learning and to be willing to let people correct you if you're wrong. Don't shy away from helpful advice or the chance to learn something new. There's physical confidence. Being confident in your physical appearance is important, because it can be challenging to make friends or to have intimate relationships if you lack physical confidence. I know when I am, excuse me again, sorry, I've been dealing with this little cold here, so sorry about that. I hope that's not horribly loud. I'm using my earpiece. It's probably pretty bad. You guys are like, you know, so physical confidence, some easy ways to work on your physical confidence are positive affirmations. Make a list of things you like about your appearance and kind of tell yourself that. this suggests working out. And I know for me, that's true. You know, when I start, when I'm working out pretty regularly and I'm, you know, feeling fit and can look in a mirror and, you know, that shirt that didn't fit 6 months ago now fits again, that gives some confidence. You definitely feel better about yourself when you're doing that, you know, so stay healthy, eat healthy, update your wardrobe. Something my daughter would definitely tell me. That's probably self-deprecating, but it's true. When I get new clothes or, you know, that look good, I feel better. You know, you get a new shirt or, you know, a new suit, definitely. You know, it can change the way you feel about yourself. And then finally, number four is confidence in your self-worth. That's knowing what you're capable of and what you deserve in life can give you a clear view of how you want to live. Here are a few tips to improve your confidence in your self-worth. So forgive yourself. You're worthy of forgiveness even if you mess up or do something bad. You can't have to live with the guilt forever. Give yourself the forgiveness you give others. Encourage yourself. Be your own biggest cheerleader. Encourage yourself to try new things and take risks. Don't talk yourself out of having a fun life. And keep a journal. Every day wake up and write down what you're grateful for that day. It could be the food you get to eat or the way you feel. Express gratitude whenever you can. So I will tell you for that one, you know, I don't know if this is forgiving yourself or anything, but definitely trying to see, you know, and this is hard for me sometimes. I have to force myself sometimes to see the glass is half full, right? There's half empty, half full. We were on a plane, you know, coming back from Vegas last week, and our first flight got delayed, which ended up messing up the entire day. We had multiple layovers. I had to fly coach coming back. It was really hard. That's not
that
to say
that
I had paid. I had been upgraded for free to Delta Comfort, and then I lost my upgrade, and I had to fly coach. It was horrible. It was horrible. No, it really wasn't that bad, but but Michelle and I didn't get to sit together, you know, which kind of sucked because it's nice to hang out and, you know, but then I got to thinking about it. Yeah, we got home about 7 hours later than what we were what we were supposed to get home based on our original flight. And we had multiple layovers. And then I got to thinking about it and I was like, wow, wait a minute. I got on a plane way out west in the morning, and by the evening, I got to sleep in my own bed. That's pretty incredible that I went up in the sky and flew at really, really, really fast speeds and landed safely multiple times. And you know, I didn't have to worry about wolves or coyotes or freezing to death at night or starving and having to eat, you know, people in my party. You know, it was like, it's kind of incredible that, so, you know, my problems are kind of first world problems, you know, and it actually does help, I think, quite a bit to look at the positive side of things, to look at the glasses half full, you know, we tend to get drugged down in the weeds a little bit on all the negative stuff, the bad stuff that can happen. It really does help in general to have that positive outlook, to find the positive side of things, you know, that overall helps with confidence in your life overall. So thoughts on these four types of confidence?
As a general rule of thumb, confidence is a mindset. And it's something you have to feed, because people will let other people drag them down.
Yeah.
And we had a inside sales rep for a while that, I mean, just reeked of no confidence. And she was a very sweet person, but it came from a lot of different sources as to why. And I'm like, wow. And no matter what we would do in the office to try to build her up, it just wasn't working.
So let me ask you, can you? So, you know, when this client of ours said, I want to send you mm-hmm. this guy so that he can practice a little bit and gain more confidence, okay, and be more confident, can you teach confidence to somebody like that? Is it worth an owner's time to, you know, to try and make somebody more confident, or is that just something that naturally occurs?
So confidence comes from practice a lot of times. When Mike Kelsey was in middle school band, she was in the middle of a test and she broke down and started crying, and the band teacher was, he's talking to me later and he's like, I don't know why she started crying. I'm so upset that I did this to her. I said, you didn't do this to her. She didn't practice. If she had known what she was doing, she wouldn't have fallen apart.
Yeah.
And the more they practice and get comfortable with something, it's why we role play.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So yes, it can be taught if they're willing to make the effort to practice.
Yeah, you know, when I was a teenager, I used to be a pretty good diver. I could go down to the public pool and I would dive. You know, there's this dive called a cutaway, where you stand on the board backwards and you jump out and dive in front of you, you know, you dive towards the board. And I used to do that dive all the time. I was pretty good at it. And, I'm not anywhere on a team or expert or anything like that, but I had definitely confidence. One time I did that dive and I barely scraped the back of my head. It bled quite a bit, you know, and I went down and on a low dive, on a high dive, on various diving boards from then on, I could never, I'd go out there. I didn't even know that I couldn't do it until I went out there to try it the next, you know, until another time. I stood on the end of that diving board trying to do that dive, and I could never do it again. I just, if for whatever reason, there was something in me that just would not allow me to do that dive. You know, it had changed it. That one incident, it really changed it. And that always puzzled me. I'd stand there and try and will myself to do it. So I don't know if you can always gain that, you know, if you can always make it better, but definitely, I do think that sometimes it's impossible to, you know, that it's just, you're not going to, I guess I wouldn't say that it's impossible for me to ever gain confidence to do that dive again, but I would have to have some pretty serious motivation. And at this point, I'm like, it's not worth it. I don't really need to do that dive anymore. it's that part of it. So I don't know. I do feel like you're right. You get people practicing, you get them to do it, they overcome it. You know, they try new things, especially in a situation where they know that it's okay if they mess up. That definitely helps a lot more. But there are times when people just simply can't overcome their fear of something or another. And I think that's, you know, that's when you encourage them to look at another avenue, maybe.
You know, Kelly, too, I think that keeping yourself surrounded by positive people and people of like mind, I think that's huge. In using affirmations, this is something that really helped me with my confidence, having little self-talks. But like you talked about, know your worth. I have a little a picture in my office that says, know your worth, then add tax. You know, and it's it really does. Every once in a while, I'll look over at that when I'm feeling like, okay, you suck, you know. But I'll look over that, and it's like, no, I don't suck. I think I'm pretty awesome. Every once in a while, you have to tell yourself you're pretty awesome.
I think
come
you're pretty awesome
way.
Too, Jen.
Aw, thanks.
Does everybody else think Jen's pretty awesome? I think she's pretty awesome. Everybody give Jen a virtual hug right now. So,
yeah, this is where everybody says Jen's worth, add some tax, which means a couple extra dollars to the no.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on this? I just want to say how much I appreciate everybody joining back. Nice to have everybody back on again. Thank you for the participation. We do have some awesome guest speakers coming up here. I've got to get the schedule, but immediate past president Jim Stern is going to be joining us in the next couple of weeks. Brand new president of WQRF, Brett Tangley, will be joining us. So it's going to be some interesting guests coming up here pretty soon. So stay tuned. Otherwise, beyond that, we will talk to you next week, if not before. Thanks, everybody. Great to have you back. So
take
be
care.
Safe.
Have a great morning.